So we did the Mishnah yesterday on Daf Mem Vav, that's the first of two Mishnayos. And we spoke about this case of a dough that has begun to bake, it's begun to ferment, and we're not sure if it's chametz or not. It's at a very, very early stage. And the Rishonim identify this stage as what's called nichsifu panav. In other words, it's a white kind of dough, and it's very early. Now, there's machlokas Rishonim, as we said yesterday. Does our Mishnah reflect the sheet of kekarnei chagovim, which means that siyar is only when it reaches a more developed stage? And then the Mishnah wants to know whether this of Hichsifu Panav is already close enough on the way towards Karnei Chagovim that we should already be worried about the fact that it became Chametz. In and of itself, if all things were equal, we would not consider it Chametz. But since there's another Isa, another dough, that was put into the oven at the same time, and that's called Botze Kayotzebo, and that dough has reached the state of chimutz. I shouldn't say it was put into the oven, because again, we're still in the process of kneading the dough, but that for sure has exhibited simone chimutz. Therefore, we assume that if we have any doubt about this Botzek Cheresh, you know, this unidentified dough, that we can assume that likewise should be chametz. Again, if the simonim are unclear. But again, if there wouldn't have been another dough, then we would have assumed, since it didn't reach, it's only at Hechsifu Panav, it didn't reach Kecharnei Chagovim, therefore it's not chametz. But only here there's the exceptional case. The Rambam, on the other hand, interprets our Mishnah according to that shita that already at Hechsifu Panav, it's Yotze Mechal Matzah, it's already Chametz. But then our Mishnah apparently is talking about a Botzek that is even before Hechsifu Panav. It's the Tchilas Hechsifu Panav. And only because we have another dough that exhibits the simone chimutz only then, and therefore we are choshesh for this one. So that's as far as the Mishnah is concerned. Now the Gemara here on Daf Mem Vav, so let's see if we have the place like almost in the middle of the Amud, right after the Mishnah, says the following: Im ein sham kayotze bo mahu. What guidelines can you give me halachically for determining, in the absence of another twin botzek that was being needed simultaneously, in the absence of that opportunity, what guidelines can you give me to determine whether the botzek is already past the red line? It's already reached the level of chimutz. And Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Kidei sheyelech adam mimigdal nunyo l'tveria, mil. And Rabbi Avo is establishing that after you finish the lisha, so you've kneaded the dough, and then you raised your hands, you're no longer osek belisha. As long as you're osek belisha, we don't even start the clock ticking, because that his askus belisha prevents chimutz. But once you've finished and the dough is sitting there idly, then we kick off a meal. We wait a meal, the time it takes to walk a meal. And the Gemara asks immediately, name a meal. Why don't you just send meal? Why do you have to tell me, you know, the distance from Nunya from Migdal Nunya to Tveri? And the Gemara says, Hakamashan Deshira de Meal Kim Migdal Mimigdal Nunya Ad Tver. So apparently they knew in those times how long it would take to walk from place X to place Y. They didn't know how long it would take to walk a meal. Not everybody knew exactly how much a meal is, 2,000 amma. And that's a simple way of calculating, of conveying the amount of time. How much time is it? We don't have the ability today to walk from Migdal Nunya to Tveria. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins that it's 18 minutes. The Mishnah Berurah brings other shitos, that it might be 24 minutes, 22 minutes. A lot of different shitas as to how long how long an unkneaded dough that's lying, passively lying there, how long does it take until it reaches that point of chimutz? So we assume in Shulchan Aruch that it's 18 minutes. Okay. Now at this point, the Gemara is interested in quoting the same tradition of Rabbi Avo in the name of Rav Shim ben Lakish in a similar context, meaning in a context in which we use a meal as our shear of not in terms of how much time went by, but how much of a hassle it would be to go back and retrace your steps. Like, for example, Netilas Yadayim. So I'm already, I'm on the road, I'm on the move, and I'm traveling, and now I remember that I passed a source of water, and it's already a meal behind me, so I'd have to turn around and go back a meal. And we're going to have four dinim that depend upon these shiurim. It's going to be four milim going forward and one meal if I have to retrace my steps going backwards. Amrei Avo, Amrei Shimon Lakish, Ligabol. Now, Gabol is a hired dough kneader. So I have my dough and I hire you to knead my dough. And I pay you, and if all things are equal, if you are loyal to the job, you will guarantee that the kelim, like for example, we spoke about our rave on the previous mission, right? The bowl that you use for kneading will be tahorim. Because people, are interested in having a dough that's tahor. It means they could, they could invite anyone to join. It's like a super duper hechsher, that it's tar. I mean, technically, we're talking about chulin, we're not talking about truma per se, and therefore it really makes no difference, al pi din, whether it's tar or tame. So even if this dough that this professional gabol is kneading becomes tame because he uses kelim tmeim, there's no terrible catastrophe here. But even amongst chulin eaters, there was what we call ochle chulin betara. There were those who try to be makpid not to eat ochlin tmeim. So if the gabol would ask us on a moral level, what is the perfect job in mitzvahs bein adam lechaver that he should do on behalf of his balabayas, the answer is he should take the effort to look for kelim tahorim. Now what happens if he looks around, let's say he's working in the house of the balabayas and he doesn't find any kelim tahorim. They're all becheskas tamei. Which, by the way, may mean that a tamei walked into the house. And that might be even enough to create a cheskas tumah. And that's a sugya in the beginning of Pesachim, that if a tummy walks into a house, do we assume he came in contact with everything in the house? Whatever it might be. Now, in this circumstance, the gabol is hassled here because he's got to start looking for kelim tahorim so that he can guarantee that he's doing an ideal job and he's presenting, bread that's tahor. Now, if let's say he has no access to kelim tahorim, he would have to take kelim tmeim to the mikveh. Now, where is the nearest mikveh? So it's arba milin away, 4 milin, which, you know, is about almost an hour's walk, let's say. I mean, again, it depends on how long it takes to walk a meal, but let's round it off at 20, right? Oh, so 20 times 4, actually, that's going to be 80, or that's even more than an hour. Well, let's say 72 minutes, we'll call it that. So if he's has access to a mikveh within 72 minutes going forward, then he is required to do so. Ula tefillah. Now there's halach in tefillah that you should daven b'tzibur, but you don't always find yourself in proximate to a synagogue. So how far do you have to travel in order to find a tefillah b'tzibur? And once again, it's going to be forward 4 milim and backwards 1 mil. And then we have netilas yadayim. So he wants to eat a loaf of bread, and he doesn't have any immediate access to a source of water to wash his hands. In all the above, where we have three on the list, there's going to be a fourth case later on. Arba milin, that's lefanov, in order to find a mikveh to be tovah lekelim for the lisha, or to find a beis hakness to daven b'tzibur, or water for netilas yadayim. Excuse me, but he doesn't have to go more than 4 mil in order to fulfill those requirements that we mentioned. Okay, now the Gemara is going to add a fourth case. Now, I wanted to point out a few things here, that as far as tefillah is concerned, so we have Rashi says that we're talking about finding a minyan for tefillah, and the Mefarshim say that this is based on a Gemara in Brachos, Ein tefillah shel adam nishmas ela b'beis hakneses. And the Gemara interprets that means a beis hakneses shemispalim ba tzibur. Now, Rabbeinu Yonah, not here, we don't have Rabbeinu Yonah on Masechet Pesachim, to the best of my knowledge, but we have Rabbeinu Yonah on Brachos, and he writes, sheyesh maila b'tefillah b'beis hakneses gam kishe'en shom asora mispalim. So this doesn't reflect the classic understanding, as Rashi understood it, that a Beis HaKnesses in Tefillah is for the Rabbim, and that's the Milah of a Beis HaKnesses. He says the Beis HaKnesses, in and of itself, is a Milah in Tefillah. There's no minion, and still you should daven in the Beis HaKnesses. And apparently, I'm not familiar with the Chidushei Marai Shapiro, I don't know who he was, if you know, let me know. He writes that even Rashi agrees that there's a mila to daven in a beis hakness. It's just Rashi doesn't hold that you have to be matriach yourself to go 4 mil on the road in order to find a beis hakness, unless you know that there's going to be a minyan there. You know, like my father always used to tell the story, I must have told it to you 10 times, that he was down south in the summertime. And he was in some place in Virginia, I don't remember where, and he was looking for a shul to daven in. So they told him, you know, there's a Shari Tefillah on such a block. So he went to Shari Tefillah, and there was a big sign there that said, Gates of the Heaven closed for the summer. Anyway, so that Rashi would also agree that there's a mile in davening in Beis HaKnesses, but it doesn't require such a tirch. Now, as far as the professional gabol is concerned, the Aruch Laner says that Hanidon hu kama ad kama chayv hasachir, sachir means the employee, litroach kidei letayer es kelov shel bal habayis. So that's the way we interpreted the Gemara before, in order to be tovel the kelim. Rabbeinu Chananel pirish shemedubar bi adam ha'ochel chulin betara, that he knows that his bal habayis eats chulin betara. He belongs to that special pious membership club. Lipirusho, ein midubar beschiro elabo biatzmo. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, there's no need to limit this discussion of Rabbi Shmuel, of Rabbi Shimon Lakish, to a sachir. Logically, it should apply to the Baal Bayis himself. The Baal Bayis took it upon himself to eat chulin betara. How much of a hassle does he have to hassle himself in order to guarantee that he eats chulin betara? Now, the Ritva wants to understand, the Gemara is going to make a distinction between four meal going forward and one meal going backwards. I mean, that makes sense if someone's on the road. But when you're talking about a gabal, he's stationary, let's say he's in the Baal Bayis' house. So the Ritva writes, sheyesh lefarish medubar b'misha holech b'derech. Again, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't make much sense to understand this Ritva unless you introduce Rabbeinu Chananel. Because according to Rabbeinu Chananel, there's no difference here between the Gabal and the Baal Habayis. So the word Gabal here only doesn't mean a professional, paid, hired Gabal. It means a person who's doing, preparing his dough for his bread in his own home, but he's mi'ochle chulin betara. Now he's on the road. And let's say, you know, he could get to a mikvah over there, or maybe somebody is offering chulin betara over there. How far does he have to go? So, medubar bi'odam ha'holech b'derech, v'ein etzlo gabol asosi soso betara, ha'im tzorch lahamtin, ad she'agia l'gabol ha'osa isoso betara. How much time does he have to invest, you know, to wait until he can finally get chulin betara? Is it 72 minutes or is it 18 minutes? Haramam kosav, this is a Rambam at the end of Hilchus Bikurim, shemedubar b'stam adam ha'nimtza v'beso v'rotza lasos isa. Oh, now wait a second. Stam ben adam ha'nimtza v'beso. Okay, so, you know, In a certain sense, the Rambam is on track with Rabbeinu Chananel, that we're not talking about a professional employee who's being hired and paid, but a Baal Habayis. But the Rambam doesn't add, you know, the description of Rabbeinu Chananel, that we're talking about Ochlei Chulin Vitara. So now the Rambam has to ask himself, so why is he going to be Matriach, and why should we expect him to be Toreach to find to find the kelim that he needs, that betara. Zokta Rama, tzorach litroach ulitoyer ulitayres kelov, kidei sheyafrish chala betara. In other words, the Rambam learns that this sugi that we're learning belongs to Hilchas Chala. That's why the Rambam codifies it in Hilchas Bikurim, which is Hilchas Chala. And we're talking about Dafka and Isa that has the shear of challah. And we want to be mafresh challah betara. Again, today it's not shayach, but in those days it was very relevant. So the Rama writes, how far does he have to go with this? Now, it seems to me that if, let's say, it's more than four meal, what's he going to do now? He has no choice but to be mafresh challah betumah, which is exactly what we do today. Which means that he's going to be mafsid the mitzvah of nesina l'kohen. There are two parts to the mitzvah of challah. One is to be matir tevel, right? It's tevel l'challah, so that you can eat the chulin, so you need afrosha. The next mitzvah is nesina l'kohen, but that he can't do if it's betumah. And, you know, the Rambam is a big chiddush, because intuitively we would have said the Iker Mitzvah of Challah is to give Challah to the Kohen. You know, our minhag of being mafresh Challah is almost like a secondary mitzvah. We have no choice. We don't have the opportunity of giving our Challah to a Kohen. It's Challah Tmeah. But if all things were equal, then the Mitzvah of Challah ideally would be to be mafresh Challah B'Tara. It's very interesting that the Rambam is assuming within the context of the Mitzvah of Challah, you don't have to be matriach yourself more than four meal in order to guarantee that you are afroshes challah v'tara, putting all the emphasis on the afrosh itself. Kosem anodu b'Yehuda, d'lefi divrei Rambam, im lash pochos mishir hachayv b'challah, if he's kneading a dough that's not chayv in challah, it's too small, O shalosh isas orez she'ena chayeves bechala ein tzorch l'troch la'asosa b'tara. In other words, according to Rabbeinu Chananel that we're talking about ochlei chulin b'tara, it makes no difference whether it's a pas orez, it's a rice bread, or whether it's a bread that's very small and the amount of kemach is less than a shir chala, that's irrelevant. He's ochlei chulin b'tara. But if we go with the sheet of the Rambam, that the entire machayev here of finding Tara is because of Hafroshas Challah, would not apply to a Chalas Orez or to Pachos Mikishir. Okay. Now, Tosfos Divar Maschil Ulitfila has a problem with Rashi. Rashi, in the case of Netilas Yadayim, is talking about Pas. Tosfos says that Netilas Yadayim, in this statement of Rabbi Avo, is really a continuation of what came before it, and that's Tefillah. And Halacha is Hikon, that you have to wash your hands before Tefillah. That's a requirement of preparation for Tefillah. And the question now is, how far do you have to go in order to find water for tefillah? And then we have two dimensions of Hilchus Tefillah. One is to find a Beis HaKnesses with a minyan, without a minyan, and you have to go for a meal. And the other is, in order to prepare yourself for tefillah, you need to wash your hands. Now, I'm going to just mention a sheet of Rabbeinu David. You know, he's a Talmud of the Ramban. This is really way out. And he says that what this Gemara is talking about, again, I think he may have a different girsa, but just the concept itself is really, in my mind, way out. That we're talking about tevilah, about going to a mikvah, how far you have to travel to find a mikvah, kodem tevilah, and this is after Takonis Ezra, so we're talking about a Balkeri, and a Balkeri is also a tevilah until he goes to the mikvah. And, you know, for Hasidim, this Rabbeinu David is very appropriate, because, you know, Hasidim, okay, you have to ask me a kash on Mincha and Meirav, I don't know, but maybe the tevilah works for the entire day, I don't know. But for Hasidim, you know, going to a mikvah before davening is like, you know, holy of holies. You know, during this pandemic, there was a whole issue about finding a mikvah, this, that, and the other thing. So Rabbeinu David says that after Takonis Ezra, how far would a person be required to go to fulfill the requirement of Ezra, the Balkeri is required to be Tovel. He doesn't know that he's a Balkeri necessarily. We would suspect that he might be a Balkeri. And now we have another interpretation. This is also in Rabbeinu David. Rabbeinu David offers another interpretation, alternatively, also very way out, that our Gemara here is alluding to a sugi in Brachos Daf Chav Gimel, about a case of a person who within a certain period of time will have to relieve himself. And he's not allowed to daven until he relieves himself. And the Gemara is telling us that Yochel Lishos Zman Hiluch Arba Milim, that although he's not allowed to daven, but if he davens, and he could hold himself for that period of time, we'll call it 72 minutes, whatever it might be, then his tefillah is tefillah. V'im lo, if he won't be able to maintain himself for that 72-minute period, then tefilaso to'eva. And he says, midubar kan b'mahalech baderech mamish, ela b'shir zman hiluch arba milim. So again, I don't know, we're going to have to figure out, the Gemara is about to establish that if he has to go backwards, he only has to go back one meal. I'm not sure how to fit that in with Rabbeinu David, because if we're talking about whether his tefillah is to'eva or not, I don't see the difference between, if it's amount, yeah, you can make it less than the amount of time of 72 minutes, but why would it go down to a meal? Let's say he can't get access to a bathroom or something like that. He still should not daven. So I don't know. Maybe we'll have an answer to that question. I'm just throwing that out. Okay. Now again, according to Rashi, when it says here Netilas Yadayim, we're talking about a person who wants to eat a pas, and he doesn't have water for Netilas Yadayim. So the Ritva says that according to Rashi, Rashi's talking about a case where it's urgent for him to eat immediately. And the reason for that is haderech tordoso. In other words, it's dangerous. He's got to continue on the derech. And it's very hard for him to function without eating a pas. That's what he has to eat. If he has other things, meaning tergamino, that's fine. But we're talking about a case, says the Ritva and Rashi, where what he has to eat is a pas, and he needs it for the derech. Otherwise, he doesn't have the strength to continue. So it's such a pressing need that we might allow him, under certain circumstances, if he can't get access to water for a meal, to eat the pas without washing. But, says the Ritva, in a case where Yochel Ahamtin, there's no pressing, urgent reason for him to eat right now. He could postpone his meal. Is then, im yochel ahamtin, vaday sheyesh lo letroach, kol ma she'efshel l'kayim mitzvos netilas yadayim. So in other words, the kula here of netilas yadayim a suda without netilas yadayim, if it's less than if it's more than four meal away to get access to the water, that's only because he cannot postpone his eating. But if he can postpone his eating, then he's obligated to do so until he finds a place for water. I'm thinking out loud here. If I were to write a Shulchan Aruch according to the Ritva, these dinim, and codify them, there'd be a lot of gray area. Because I'm not sure if you could always pinpoint exactly when it's considered, has this language, Eino Yochel Ahamtin. So again, I the only thing I could say is that since we're talking about Holech Bederech, that Eino Yochel Ahamtin means that he's not capable of moving forward without eating. Then the Ritva says, Medubar Lagabi Misha Osa Tzrochov, again, very much along the line of what we saw in Rabbeinu David, that we're talking about, again, Rabbeinu David was talking about tefillah, now we're talking about Netilas Yadayim, and the Ritva is saying that we're not talking about Netilas Yadayim for tefillah. Maybe the Ritva would agree that you don't have to be matriach yourself for milin in order to wash your hands for tefillah. But we're talking about after he did what he had to do, asa tzrachav, now he wants to wash his hands and recite asher yotzar. How far does he have to go to seek out water so that he can make the bracha of asher yotzar? Then the Ritva has another sugi about Talmidei Chachamim. And the Gemara says that also the Talmid Chacham Lelech Biyadayim Mizuhamos. That if a person's hands are filthy, let's say he went to the bathroom, then he's not allowed to go on the road. He's got to wash his hands immediately. Why? Because Kenu Etzel Talmid Chacham Yefshalem Lol Hira Torah. The Talmid Chacham is always thinking in Torah. So he won't be able to postpone his thoughts in Torah and control himself. And therefore he has to guarantee that he gets water to wash his hands because his Yodayim are Yodayim Mizuhamos. It's just amazing to me how many different possibilities there are in this Gemara. You know, we should make a chart, you know, charting out all the variations. Okay. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, this memra that we said in the name of Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Aibo Omra, he said it in the name of Aibo. Okay, fine. So leave out Rabbi Avo, the Arba Omar Ba. And Aibo said, It's all Rav Shimon Lakish, but the question is, who said it in the name of Rav Shimon Lakish? Which Talmud of Rav Shimon Lakish was transmitting this statement? We thought it was Rabbi Avo. Rav Nachman says, no, it was Aibo. And Aibo actually had a different number. He had the number 4. There were 4 different things that are reflected in the shir of Arba Milin. The 3 above, which is Legabel, Tefillah, Teilas Yadayim. The Chada Minayu, Ibut. And we have to add one of the 4 is called Ibut. So this has to do with the sugya of Tuma Vitara. And the Gemara at the end of Masecht Chulin differentiates between Basar and Ar. Basar, the flesh of an Avela, for example, is Makabel Tuma. The Ar is not Makabel Tuma. Unless it was subjected to Ibut. If they took the hides of the animal and they tanned the hides, and now we have to see exactly what constitutes tanning the hides, then the hides get a new din. And they are metame kibosar. Why? Because they become very soft. Disnan, we learned in the Mishnah in Chulin, v'kulon, all these oros, she'ibdon, o shehilech bahen kidei avoda, tahorin. Ah. So just the opposite. In other words, the R in its natural state before Ibud is considered like Basar, and therefore it is susceptible to Tumah. Why? Because the R is like the Basar. Everything is soft and edible. But once you do Ibud, then the skin, the hide, loses its shame Basar. It becomes an entity unto itself. And it's not makabel tuma. Kulon she'ibdon tahorim. Because we need a chalosh, a toras basar, and after ibud, the hides, the or, is not considered toras basar. O she'ilach bahem kidei avoda. What they used to do is they used to stamp on top of the oros. And as a result, they would tan it and make it hard. Chutz mi ar ha'odam, that's only the exception. Again, I looked around. If I had more time, I would go through the sugyan chulin to figure out what's going on with this ar ha'odam. Okay, fine. Kama kidei avoda, and at what point do we say that the ar was tanned such that it's considered R and not Basar, and therefore it's Tahar? And the answer is, Omarabi Aibu, Omaravyanai Kidei Hiluch Arba Milu. In other words, if they were involved in the process of tanning it for this period of, let's call it 72 minutes, then Yotza Mechlal Basar, and therefore it is Tahar. It's not subject to Kabbalah's Tumah. Now, there's a discussion here in the Rishonim as to why the original presentation left out this case of Ar, of Ibud Ar. Fine. Now, if you assume, which was, if you remember, Rabbeinu Chananel said that Litfila means because of the Takon of Ezra, that a Baal Keri should not be davening without jumping into a mikveh first, then you can set up a common denominator in all these three cases of Gabal, Tfila, and Netilas Yadayim, and they're all dealing with cases of Tara. For example, Netilas Yadayim is because the Gzeira of already back in the time, Shlomo Melech of Yadayim Shnios had, and you don't want to be Mitame Taro, so therefore you need Netilas Yadayim. So that's a Netila Shel Tara. And certainly the Gabal is looking for Kalim Tahorim to knead his dough. So that's, again, a mikvah. And in the case of tefillah, if we go with Rabbeinu Chananel, it works out very beautifully because Rabbeinu Chananel is requiring for the fulfillment of Takanah Sesu that you jump into a mikvah in order to be mispalel. Ibud has to do with Kabbalah's Tumah, but has nothing to do with the requirement of Tara, whether it's a Tara in mikvah or in Tils Yadayim is a Tara of Yadayim. And that's one approach. Now, Rabbeinu Yaakov, the Teferes Yaakov, you remember his last name I told you is Gesundheit. So he writes that Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish mentions only Dvarim Sha'odam Mechuyev La'Sosa Mishum Mitzvah. So he has another common denominator, even if we don't accept Rabbeinu Chananel, that Tefillah requires Tefillah, right? Tefillah, Tefillah. But we're talking about going to Davin in a Beis HaKnesses. So the common link between all these three cases is a mitzvah. And that works out beautifully, if you all like the Rambam, that the Gabal here is involved in the mitzvah of Hafrashas Chala. He says, Aval Ibud Oros is not a Kiyuma mitzvah. You know, again, it's relevant to whether the R is Basar or it's a different entity and it's not Makabal Tumah, but there's no mitzvah involved per se, and therefore Reish Lakish in the first version left it out. Then he says, Rabbi Shimon Lakish Nokat Kak Dvarim Shehem Shir Halicha Shalarba Milin Mashenkin Oros Enon Halicha Shel Arba Milin El Shir Zman Halicha Shel Arba Milin. So how far does the Gabal have to go to find a mikvah to be Matar the Kalim? How far do I have to go in order to get to the shul? How far do I have to walk in order to have access to water? But in the case of the Ibud Oros, we're talking about a Shir of Zman. How long did I engage in the process of tanning such that now it's considered an R and not Basar, and that's Kedei Hiluch Arba Milin. Om Rab Yossi Rab Chanina Lo Shonu El Lefanov Aval Yachrav Afilu Mil Eino Chozer. Now that's going to work out, as we said before, with regard to Tefillah and with regard to Tils Yadayim. It doesn't make sense in the case of a Gabal, because he's not on the derech. But as we mentioned before, there are Rishonim that say that Gabal is also an Adam Hamahalich Baderech, and he's Mi'ochle Chulim B'Tara, and therefore he wants to make sure, or the Rambam sheet about, according to the Rambam, it's not going to work out. Just one second, the Rambam's holding that we're talking about Afrashas Chala, and therefore, and according to the Rambam, that he wants to get Kalim to knead his dough so that his Hafrosh of Chala will be Betara, and he may have to find a mikvah, and it's all about walking for meal. And where is the mikvah? So he's got to go, he's on a trip, he's on the road, And now he has to either go back or forward, whatever it is, to find a mikvah. So if he passed the mikvah already a meal ago, he doesn't have to go back to the meal. And therefore, in all these three cases, we can talk about a mahalach b'derech, either how far does he have to go forward, or how far would he have to retrace his steps going backwards. Okay. Now, I want to add just one note over here before we start the new Mishnah. And then remind me, I want to ask you a contemporary question, because how does this work with automobiles and stuff like that? Do we now, you know, the Gemara is talking about walking by foot, but if we convert it into minutes, I don't know, I have to look in the poskim. What's your feeling? I would think that, you know, how long would it take me to drive to the nearest mikvah? Is it less than 18 minutes or more than 18 minutes? Obviously, if I would walk, it would take me hours to get to the mikvah. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. But anyway, in this footnote, he says, "Legabe adam hayoshev bebeso." So a person is sitting in his house. Hayemistabe lechayvo gam yosem imil. Shebederech hikilu velo shelo lachso achor v'yosem imil mnei atzorech. Sheish lo lovel l'mokum sheholech l'sham. Fine, he has to get there. Avok shu bebeso. Ein tam lahakilo. Oh, I see what he's saying. As if a person is at home. Now, I'm not sure what was the Havamina. The Havamina was, I don't get, how would this whole halacha apply to Yoshev Bebeso? That we'd apply this kula. He gives a whole explanation why the kula of meal doesn't apply to someone who's Yoshev Bebeso. Because only if he's holy Pederach, they would make ill if he has to go back, because he's got to get there. You know, that's his destination. He has to go forward. So I'm not sure why he needs this. If he's a Yoshev Bebeso, so what would be a case of Lachorov? Eino Chozer. He wants to know whether we'd be Mekil or not if a person is Yoshev Bebeso. Just 1 second. Give me a second, Rebosa. I'm missing the mathematics here. He's Yoshev Bebeso and he needs water, right? So what would be Chozer in the case of Yoshev Bebeso? I mean, you know, I would put a dot on a page, and now there's a circumference, you know, a radius around that dot of 4 milin. What would be 1 mil me'achorov? Unless, again, he's on his way to shul, or he's on his way to work, or something like that, but then you'd have the same urgency, and he's telling you, no, we're not making for Yoshev Bebeso. I'm going to read it again. Legabe odom ha-yoshev v'beiso, mistaber l'chayvo gam b'yoser mimil, shebederech hikilu shelo lachzor li'achorov, yoser mimil, b'pnei atzorech sheyesh lo lovo l'mokom, shaholech l'shom. V'gam shehu rak aroi, Aval kishuhu bebeso ein tam lahokilo. Wait, maybe I'll read the next sentence. He says, "Ach lo yadua ezu shir she'ein lulmo mi arba milin she'never baholich b'derech soch leilech l'sham gamitzad darko." The Elo Tircha, Vilchain Ulai Mishum Shlo Huzkar Shir Lyoshev Bebeso, Ein Lahachmir Biyoser Mimil. Ah, wow, he's saying, how long would it take him to get access to water in a case of Yoshev Ibeso? And he's saying that Dafka Dalid Mil is a chumrah for a holech b'derech. This is really counterintuitive. He's saying that the two, it's like a double-edged sword. On the one hand, he's holech b'derech, and therefore there's an urgency to move forward and not to move backwards. And therefore we're going to be mekil on behalf of the holech b'derech and give him the kula of 4 times 18 minutes. But on the other side, there's also a chumrah here in a holech b'derech, because he's going forward, postponing his tefillah or his eating of a suda until he goes forward for milin, but it's on his way. It's on the way. No, he's at point A, he wants to get to point B. That's his destination. And he should postpone his eating or his davening until he gets somewhere between point A and point B, which is 72 minutes away, but he's on the way. If he's Yoshev Ibeso, we don't want to give him the kula and say, well, you know what? You'd have to go 4 milin, or that's how long it's going to take you to get to the nearest shul or the nearest source of water, and therefore you go ahead and daven b'yichidus or eat your meal without washing. Why should we be so mekel on his behalf and give him a full 72 minutes, which means that if it takes him 72 minutes, he's potur? That was a kula that they gave a holech b'derech. But it might not apply to a person who's yoshev v'beso. Lachain, ulai mishum shalo huskir shir liyoshev v'beso, ein lahachmir b'yosim mimil. It all depends upon 18 minutes. Shematzinu shir zeh, Beholech b'derech lachzar uliachorov. Okay, so this is a whole long discussion, believe it or not, of Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Igros Moshe. And that's what he has. Okay. So as far as Yoshev Ibeso, we're not really sure exactly. You know, at what point do we say he doesn't have to be Toreach, and so forth. There's one thing that bothers my mind here. 1 times 2 is 2. Meaning, if he has to go back 1 meal, then to get back to where he started is going to take him another meal. So why are we mekil? I would have said Lachorev should be 2 meal, which is the equivalent of 4 meal going forward. Ah, but now we have the answer. Because 4 mil going forward was a chumrah that we added because he's on his way anyway. We're not going to apply that chumrah to a person who has to go back. So, truth be told, even going forward, the shir should be 2 mil, not 4 mil. The only reason it's 4 mil, and we're going to force him an extra 2 mil, is because he's on the road and he's going towards his destination. He's going in that general direction. But in the case of Me'achorov, we go back to the Iker Shir, which is 2 mil. Okay, that's interesting. Ketzad Mafrishin Chalavetum. Again, we're going to have to end soon, but I just want to give an introduction to the Mishnah. And the Mishnah is addressing what seems to be a no-win situation. Ketzad Mafrishin Chalavetum Abiyantif. And we're talking about Pesach. He's got no way out here. It's like you put a person into a what's that thing called? You know, where you have all the lines and you have to figure out how to get out of it. Anyway, there's no way out here. It seems. I mean, the Mishnah is going to come up with some brilliant possibilities of how to solve this dilemma. But what's going on over here? There's no way he can successfully do this. Because what he has is, he's got a dough, and the dough is tummy. Now, on Yontif, we have a heter of ochel nefesh. On Pesach, we have an iser of chametz, and I let it own, possess chametz, bal yiro bal yimotzei. This dough is about to rise and become chametz. He's got to do something critical. He can't bake the dough, because baking is one of the 39 malachas, which is only mutar and yontif litzarech ochel nefesh. And as is, there's no ochel nefesh over here, because he's going to have to be mafresh chala, and chala tmeya, which goes to the kohen, cannot be eaten by the kohen. So there's no one who will be able to eat the chala. So if he goes and he's mafresh chala, then how is he allowed to bake it? And if he doesn't bake it, he violates Bal Yiro Bal Yimotzei. So Rabbi Eliezer comes up with his solution. There are actually three different alternative solutions to this problem. And Rabbi Eliezer says, Lo tikro lo shem, he shouldn't be mafresh chala, ad shetei ofe, until after he bakes it. So what happens now is that any particular part of the loaf that he's baking might potentially be chulin. In other words, it's not truma. And if it's tamei, you're allowed to eat it. Ah, you'll ask me the kasha, and this is what the other Tanoim are going to reject Rabbi Eliezer, because we know that he's going to be mafresh one segment of the challah as truma, because otherwise he can't eat the challah. And that segment, since it's challah tmeya, cannot be eaten by anyone. It can't be eaten by a zar because it's challah. It can't be eaten by a kohen because it's tamei. So somewhere in the baking process, he is certainly baking shelo litzorach, even though we have a shita of Beis Hillel, mitoch shehut shel litzorach, hut shelo litzorach, but it has to have some sort of tzorach. And here there's no tzorach. So Ben Becerra says that you know what he should do? He should take the dough and submerge it in cold water. Tatil bitzonen. And that's going to arrest the process of fermentation. It'll never become chametz. On Rabbi Yeshua says that lo zehu chametz shemus harim al v'al yiro b'yimotze. He says, you have no problem over here. Why? Because you're worried about the fact that it becomes chametz, and therefore you'll violate b'al yiro b'yimotze. There is no b'al yiro b'yimotze over here because he's mafresh challah, and that becomes momen hashevet. And that's not included in lo yiro lecha. Lecha means private ownership, but here it belongs to the shevet of kahuna. Ela mafrishoso meinichos ad ha'erev v'yemechmitza chmitza. Let it be mafrish chala and leave it until motzei yontif. And if, heaven forbid, it becomes chametz, so what? This chametz is owned by shevet kahuna, therefore it's excluded from the lav of Bal Yiro Bal Yimotzei. Okay, so Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up this Mishnah from the top. Very fascinating Mishnah. And we'll analyze it. He says here in the note, Ha'ose Isa, Me'echad Michamisha Mine Dogger, Chayv Lafshish Mene Truma Lekohen, Shenema Reishis Arisoschechem Chala Tarimu Truma, Kitrumas Goren Kein Tarimu Osa. And this is the mitzvah of Hafrashas Chalam in HaTorah. All he has to do is be mafrish kisaora, the smallest amount, and it's poter sa'isa. Midirei Chachamim, he's required to give 1 over 24, and that's what he has to give as a matona to the Kohen. Now, if he's lashen isa on yontif shel Pesach, or b'shar yamei Pesach, u'mafrish chala, Tzorech lafosa miyad kidei shelo tachmitz v'nos lo lekohen. So if it would have been a regular yontif, and it would be a Pesach as well, and then he's mafresh chala, then he gives the chala after he bakes it to the kohen, and everything's fine. But if it's a yontif of Pesach and Nitma Isa, if the Isa contracts Tuma, then Osul Afosa Sheichalat Mea Sura Bachila Lekohanim Venimsa Sheofa Osa Shalol Tzorach Achila Vafil Biyontif Shalol Tzorach Achila Asura Shenemar Kol Moloch Liyasach Bechem Nefesh Ochel Nefesh. But here it's not Ochel Nefesh because it's Osu to the Kohen, it's Chala Tmea. La Shosada Erev there's another element here in the equation of Ein Sofrin Kodshim Biyontif. So that will get up to Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow.